Hello and welcome to A Sporting Discussion, your podcast that discusses sports of all sorts. I'm Andrew Donison, and once again I'm joined by a man who is just heartbroken at his Canberra Raiders. I hope that this isn't something that we're going to have on repeat every week, AJ.
Seems to be. 28-30, they lost again. Gave up a lead with seconds to go. I think we need to move on.
Yes. All right. Let's move on. And we've got to move on to the person sitting next to you. We have a very special guest. It is AFLW Grand Final week. So what better person than Katie Lambesky to come on A Sporting Discussion and have a chat with us about the season and also the upcoming Grand Final. Welcome.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. Happy to be here.
Excellent. What we'll quickly do is mention that after our AFLW season review and grand final preview, we'll talk a little bit about Kahiso Rabada. He has been cleared by the ICC tribunal, whatever.
By the fist of justice, Andrew.
The fist of justice, Michael Herron. We'll talk about a little bit of a follow-up to last week where we were talking about the AFL players wanting to take a little bit of control back of the media narrative about them, and an article that John Ralph wrote where he slandered, or I'm not sure if that's the right word.
Oh, be careful.
He made a very provocative claim.
You said we was talking about it.
Yeah, I did. where he made a very provocative claim in his article, and Jack Riewoldt wasn't happy with that. So we'll get on to that. But it is AFLW Grand Final week, and what would a Grand Final week be without a tribunal issue, a tribunal just, it's a visceral issue that everyone's got their opinion on. Everyone wants Katie Brennan to play. Everyone doesn't want Katie Brennan to play. Everyone thinks that Katie Brennan shouldn't have been rubbed out. Everyone hates Michael Christian. Everyone.
Katie, you've got to hand this to you. What are we looking at, Kate? Let's talk Katie Brennan first. Your thoughts on the issue first, being suspended 2-1, and I think they're appealing 3 p.m. Thursday afternoon.
Yeah. I'm just really disappointed to see her rubbed out for what I thought was a good tackle, bottom line. I just thought she had a good and proper, laid the tackle, doing what I'm sure her coaches, her teammates would have expected her to do in that moment and attack the player, attack the footy. I mean, you see the narrative when players don't, when players pull out and it gets highlighted, it gets spotlighted in the media, gets, you know, 100 freeze frames, but there she was laying a proper tackle. And yeah, it's just, it doesn't sit well with me to see a marquee player of the competition, one of the best going around, and to have her miss out because of that. Given all of her struggles that she's had through injuries, it just, yeah, she's a genuine superstar and I wish she was playing.
So I think we saw the tackle and the head hitting the ground in the men's season last year. Brody Grundy got suspended for one. Patrick Dangerfield got suspended for one. Both were controversial because people have been taught, with a tackle, pin the arms, bring the player to the ground. And that's exactly what Katie Brennan did. Now, Harriet Cordner kind of slipped out of Brennan's grasp as well. So Brennan didn't really drive her into the turf. It was, what, a confluence of circumstances. And much like the Kahiso Rabada issue that we'll talk about later, it wasn't this issue. It was the fact that in round one, she also got a reprimand. And this was just another reprimand, and the rules state one reprimand is a slap on the wrists, two reprimands is a one-week suspension.
Yeah, that's kicking off a bit of fuss at the moment around the AFLW world because there's a lot of talk about, well, why can't they fine them? It's because they're not getting paid enough, which comes back to the wider pay disparity between female and male players. Say about that what you will. The agreement that I understood it was and the AFLPA signed off on was that there wouldn't be any fines for AFLW players for the reason that they weren't getting paid that much. But it doesn't seem to be helping Katie Brennan, who got second strike and that's it.
I reckon she'd be pretty happy to pay a fine if it meant playing in a grand final.
Absolutely. You know, so a lot of sponsors as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure there's ways around this. I'm a believer in that there's ways around everything, that you can work through things. And this is one of those things where I think you can have a fine system that's just greatly scaled down.
Yep.
Take, okay, $5,000 fine, hell no, no way. But something else that can kind of take it, that can kind of make sense, that can kind of be scaled down. Just it's common sense needs to take place
a
here.
A match payment or something.
Correct.
Like that. Yeah.
10% of the match fee or, yeah, obviously, like depending
system.
On it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like
so
the sound of that.
There's ways around this. Just scale it down. Jared Whateley, eloquently as he does on AFL 360 last night, made a great case that if she was a male player, she would be playing this week. And he was spot on.
So on that, I think that there's a couple of conflicting narratives going on around that. I'll preface this with saying I think that Brenna should play, and I also think that she'll get off and will be allowed to play, but I'll get to that in a sec. Sarah Darcy in round one, she was suspended for two matches, and a lot of the talk around there was it should be a four-match suspension, but because the women's season is shorter than the men's, the penalty has to be commensurate to that and should be less. And so if you then compare that to the three reprimand system in the men's game, the two reprimand system follows that same line of thinking, possibly. So I'm not sure if I necessarily buy that. I think that a system like you've said, where it's a percentage of the match fee, would be a much better one.
Yeah, it'll totally have to take into account the obviously because there's different pay scales. It's obviously going to have to take into account of who they are and where they stand, what's their standing in the game.
Yep.
But yeah, this strikes me as something that can be fixed with just simple common sense. I think two reprimands is a bit too, I don't know, it's a bit too close being to the three reprimands, because if it's a shorter season, maybe just keep the three reprimands. For that, if they're totally arcing up like that, where you trigger three reprimands, well, then you probably deserve to miss the game, don't you?
Yeah, exactly right.
Can we talk about Harriet Cordner's culpability in all of this?
Sure.
I'm a Geelong fan, and as far as I was concerned, Matthew Cruiser was the problem with Patrick Dangerfield's tackle, and I reckon Harriet Cordner was the problem with Katie Brennan's tackle. She didn't protect herself on the way down, even though she had a free arm.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
I'm getting some interesting looks here at ASD Stadium.
No,
I don't think someone, Brennan, who I think should be playing as well, because I thought it was a great tackle, but you shouldn't punish someone because the person they've tackled doesn't know how to protect themselves or isn't aware enough to protect themselves.
And I wonder if that's an issue with the over the last 5 years, like the head being sacrosanct, so players are less inclined to protect themselves because they feel as though they are protected because players are not going to slam them into the turf. So they're changing the way that they're playing, and they're changing the way that they're falling to the ground, and so they're not protecting themselves as much.
I don't know. What do you say, Katie? Am I on track or off track here?
Look, it's very hard to say because you never know in that moment. So much is going through your head, so much adrenaline's flowing through your body. You're not fully in control all the time, and you have to allow for that. You have to allow for some sort of, I don't know, some passion not quite being in, but not quite doing always the most common sense thing. Yep. You know, that's footy. That's the game.
Can we talk about the Western Bulldogs' initial defence of Katie
Lord.
Brennan?
Now,
which I heard you two can go into the specifics for me, but the one I heard was that they the defence, whose name escapes me, called on the fact that Robert Murphy missed the men's grand final in 2016 as a reason why Katie Brennan should be able to play. Now, I would have thought they're going to an appeal, obviously, where they have to provide new evidence or missed evidence or evidence of a grand injustice. That's not the official term, but I'm just saying it. But they've really shot themselves in the foot with the amateur hour defence they did first up, haven't they?
Yeah, and the response from the AFL Council to that was, frankly, that's not relevant.
That's not a good sign for an appeal, is it?
No, when you're hearing that, I'm sure if you're Katie Brennan, your heart sank in that moment.
If I'm Katie Brennan and the defence comes to me and says, look, we're just going to throw ourselves out in front of them and say, look, Katie's a great player who kids look up to, so you know, don't suspend her because the kids will want to watch her play. And Rob Murphy missed, so it's really hard on the club. You'd laugh it out of there, and it was laughed out of there.
Yeah. Yeah,
just bizarre, and it completely torpedoes their appeal because they can't walk in there and be taken seriously, saying that they've got brand new evidence and you know you guys there was an injustice first because they didn't say it first. A lot of stuff has been told on Twitter of how they should handle it, and it seems that they're going to go in and do it that way.
So my understanding is the Dogs didn't refer to the medical report So in the hearing, that is from Megan Huswaite. Harry Corner played out the game.
Yeah, got up right? to the kick, played the game.
So why was I'm just trying to figure out why wasn't that brought up? There were ways around. There were ways to argue. There was case to make. And if you know, if you wanted to really, you know, take this to another level, you say, listen, if she was a male, she would be playing this week. And I go for it. You know, I don't know what you had to lose. So instead, they've just thrown themselves at the mercy, and it backfired greatly.
It's just bizarre to me.
I've got a conspiracy theory.
Not. I've heard about this.
A conspiracy theory that the AFL wanted to show how strong their new match review committee or match review person is by giving a 1 week suspension for this. They wanted to show that the AFL tribunal supports the match review person and they uphold the 1 week. But they also then want to show that there is opportunity for natural justice and that people who deserve not to be suspended but through a quirk of the system are suspended can take it to the appeals board and get off.
You've really thought about this, haven't you? That's different to the conspiracy theory I heard.
Oh, really? What was your conspiracy theory?
I heard that she was going to get suspended and then let off on appeal so that AFLW would be kept bubbling along in the news in grand final week.
Oh, an AFL media conspiracy,
yeah. Yours is much more interesting.
Do you believe either of those conspiracies?
I do like the theory of trying to string this out and trying to make dominate headlines with it because are going off about it. It's working. Yeah. Mm. And, you know, people can have a pop at the media for it, but the fact is people are reading. People are generally interested in this. And I think they've taken a little bit of liberty with that. But, yeah, I think it's a very interesting time, and I hope we just get to the result where Katie gets off.
All right, let's get through the controversy and work our conspiracy theories in the background like all good conspiracy theorists do. Let's talk about the game, the Western Bulldogs versus the Brisbane Lions. Western Bulldogs finished first. Brisbane Lions came from fifth to finish second with a 40-point flogging of Greater Western Sydney out in, was it in Blacktown?
Yeah.
It was in Blacktown. Both teams have some really good players, have some stars, but it's going to be a good game. Who's going to kick us off? Katie.
Sure. A lot of this depends on whether Katie Brennan plays or not, because simply as just a body to take out Leah Kaslar, one of that stacked Brisbane defence, this is where they really need her. They found a way to goal. They found a way to kick winning goals without Katie. They've done well. Brooke Lachlan has been a threat, as an example. So, yeah, but they need her. I think they absolutely need Katie to kind of just take out a defender because that Brisbane defence is mean and is led by some really quality players in Kaslar, Lutkins. It's a stacked defence and you're going to need all hands on deck to kind of break it down.
That's the thing. You've got arguably the All-Australian fullback and centre-halfback in Lutkins and Kaslar. And then it's not just the fact that Brennan's not there. It means that Bonnie Toogood's probably going to have to go forward. She's played forward and back. Maybe Astor O'Connor has to go forward. But then who plays on Sabrina? So Sabrina Frederick-Traub, she's been in immense form, particularly in the game against GWS.
Yeah, she tore the Giants to pieces early and basically put the game to bed off her own boot.
Yeah, 3 goals in the first quarter, 4 for the match, and she took contested marks. That's the big thing that she does, and that's what Astor would be able to help stop down back. So it really is, yeah, Brennan just makes the pieces of the puzzle a little bit more difficult for the Bulldogs. But we've got, once again, last year we had Adelaide, the most attacking team, against Brisbane, the best defensive side. This year, again, we've got the Western Bulldogs, who have the most points for in the comp, against the Brisbane Lions, who have the most points against. But that's not to say that the least points against. Thank you, AJ, for that quizzical look.
You're welcome.
But that's not to say that the Lions can't score, nor score quickly. GWS, they played last week. GWS, if they had a won, then they would have been in the grand final. They would have been on 18 points and finished second. So
they'd come off a string of wins too, hadn't they, GWS?
Yeah, they'd been playing quite well, but Courtney Gum, other teams figured out how to tag her, that pretty much put a stop to GWS's chances. But the Lions can score. Like, they've got Wushner, they've got McCarthy, they've got Ashmore, and they've got my favourite player, Sophie Conway, as well. So if Chloe Malloy wasn't in the comp, then I'd have Conway for the rising star streets ahead of the field. So I can't wait. I don't know how it's going to go, though.
No, I don't either, for what it's worth. I've given up trying to work this season out a while ago, to be honest. Yeah, it's just been a thriller, and I expect no different this week. Don't forget Ali Anderson's season as well. It's really blown the comp away. She's been fantastic. I would like to see Caitlin Ashmore more midfield, more dashing down the wingers is her trademark. I think you kind of rob Peter to pay Paul when you put her forward.
Yep.
Unfortunately, that's the way they've had to kind of recover without Taylor Harris up there. But yeah, Sabrina Frederick-Traub is the key to goal. Genuinely scary performance in that first quarter, really took the game on, and just eventually she was the difference. You take her out of the game, it's maybe GWS win. But yeah, Brisbane, I don't know which way this is going to go. There's a lot of positives to both teams, and I'm not sure just where it's going to go down the wire, and it's really going to come down to women and moments.
Does it matter that it's at Princes Park or a day game?
I don't necessarily.
I like my intangibles.
Yeah,
Andrew.
So. I don't think so. I think in terms of, is it a home game for either of them? It's not. So is there an advantage? Maybe there's an advantage for the Bulldogs because they don't have to travel. But Brisbane, Craig Starcevich would have drilled them from day one of preseason one, talking about we don't have an excuse. Travel is not an excuse. He's a professional who would have just figured out a way to make sure that they were 100% ready for every game, no matter where they played, and that, so that that wouldn't be an issue. The lights aren't going to be an issue because it's a 12:35 start, thank God.
Mm-hmm.
The size of the ground, it's protected. It's more protected than the Western Oval. The Western Oval on Saturday night, the goalposts were moving significantly.
Yeah, that was crazy. It was very, very windy in Melbourne on Saturday night.
A humid night and a windy night as well. So the protection kind of might help with the spectacle, I think, in terms of accuracy on kicks. It's not swirling around in the air that much and you can kind of play the ball. And I think, but also as well, back the players in because the skills have gotten better, longer kicks, and it's not a coincidence that as the season has gone long. The season's gone on, players are warming into it, and that's why this makes for such an exciting contest because you're going to see two teams that are probably at peak fitness at the moment, probably raring to go. So that's what'll make the grand final such a spectacle, and that's what will make Icon probably a good location for it. The more fans that get in, the better. And I'm sure if you told them otherwise, they'd probably play in a car park if I'm in playing in a grand final. So I'm trying not to overthink this whole thing. There's a lot of ways to go in AFLW in terms of growth, and eventually we're going to get to the point where there is a fixed place, there is a fixed date. So you got to kind of allow for a bit of tinkering, you got to allow for a bit of kind of understanding of where the AFL is coming from and how in a crowded sports marketplace that they're trying to get the best, they're trying to do the best possible job that they can. We just got to be patient with it. Eventually we'll get to where it needs to be of having that one day in that one day at the G potentially.
Yep.
So just be patient. It'll work out.
I got one more intangible that I want to ask about.
Okay.
And it's last year's grand final.
Right.
Where Brisbane were in it against Adelaide.
They were. They were in it until the last.
Even until the very last 4 seconds where I think there was a pretty, if you're a Brisbane fan, you think it was a shonky decision that should have given you an attacking ball.
There were two iffy free kicks.
Anyway, we don't want to dwell in it. Does that burn provide more inspiration for Brisbane than the Bulldogs? I mean, we're talking about, head talk here, but the Bulldogs last year were expected to be pretty good. Didn't do all that well. This year, that'd be where they expect to be, I guess, as a team. Whereas Brisbane have quite a bit to prove, particularly after getting a little bit of a bake as Taylor Harris went out the door about their professionalism. Can we take that on at all, or am I just waffling?
I think you're waffling. I think that's the same in any grand final because I don't know.
If, well, I guess it's
can you improve your own performance? And if you can improve your own performance based on the opposition that you're playing, then why aren't you playing at that intensity and that level in other games?
Well, would you rather be a team that's played in a grand final going again against a team that's never played in a grand final? That's the shorter version of my waffle, I guess.
Yeah, but you look at recent times. Well, last year in the AFLW, neither had. But in recent times in the men's, Richmond, Western Bulldogs, they hadn't played in grand finals, and it didn't affect them.
Neither at Adelaide.
Yeah, affected them.
Anyway, Katie, set me straight here. Is this something that the Lions can at least tell themselves is an advantage?
Yeah, you bottle, like in those famous words of Nick Riewoldt, bottle it up and use it to motivate you. At the same time, though, if you it's a grand final, you're up no matter what, you're enjoying the week, you're kind of floating on air throughout the whole week, and then come game time, you're ready to go, you know. So by that time, I don't think you're thinking about much else than what's in front of you, and that's the only way you can kind of handle it. I mean, you need to stick to your tasks, you've got jobs to do. And if all those players do their jobs, stick to their tasks, play the work they have, you're going to put yourself in a very good winning position and you can forget about whatever came before last year.
And we've talked about this a number of times on the show, AJ, where we talk about you can have as many structures and tactics as you want, but as soon as that ball hits the turf and bounces one way or the other, it's
all out the window.
Out the window. And I reckon a grand final is even more so. You just, everyone is just going, oh my God, this is the grand final, this is the grand final. Hey, ball, go and get it. So there will
go,
be some
go
people,
and play football, yeah.
There will be some people who will be overawed by the situation. But I would think that the players, the senior players in the Bulldogs and the Lions lineups, would probably be able to pull those players into line. So Leah Kasler, Emma Zilke will just be able to say, come on, girls, just settle down.
We've been here before, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the others, like Emma Carney, would just go, hey, I've played on the MCG before. This is nothing. Come on. We'll be right.
This is where Asta O'Connor might prove very valuable. She's won it all with Darabin, so she'll be the one to kind of say, listen, this is what we need to do. Just do your jobs. Focus on the job, focus on what's in front of you, the task at hand. That's where her voice will be really vital, and that's where she'll play a major role for the team as well as obviously on the field.
All right, let's get down to business then. Who wins? Why? We will start with you, Andrew. Please keep it to 15 minutes or less.
So, this is recorded before we know whether Katie Brennan's playing or not.
All right, yeah, good point. I'll give you a Brennan in and a Brennan out option. That fair, Katie?
Yep.
All right.
Brennan in, Western Bulldogs. Oh, this is a cop out. Brennan out, Brisbane. No, Brisbane. I'm gonna go Brisbane, because even if Brennan is in, I think that Leah Kasler will be able to quell her impact, and I think that Sabrina Frederick-Traub will be able to bring the ball, either take the mark or bring the ball to ground, and Jess Wushner will kick 4 goals.
That's specific. Katie, what do you got?
Yeah, I'm probably leaning Brisbane at this point by a kick or so. Just that dynamism. That first quarter was, that last week against the Giants was utterly electrifying football, and they're going to back themselves into kind of reproduce that. They have the players to do that. Sabrina Frederick-Traub looms very large over this contest, as does Jess Wushner at ground level, or, you know, taking marks and all that. So, yeah, Brisbane by not very much.
AJ, Katie, we have talked about Katie Brennan. We've talked about the grand final. Let's talk about the season that was. There's a couple of big issues that have come up in the last few days, predominantly around Carlton and coaches being sacked and players wanting to leave. But let's put that to one side for a moment and let's go through team by team. We'll have 1 minute per team. AJ?
Yes.
Yes.
You are going to do the patented duck.
The patented sporting discussion duck countdown. If we hear this. We've spoken for too long.
All right.
Yeah. Stop it.
Well, let's start at the... Actually, let's start at the bottom of the ladder. So, AJ, we will start with Carlton. You tell us when you're going to press the button. And, Katie, you give us your thoughts on Carlton this year. Good, bad, and ugly.
Right. 3, 2, 1. Duck time.
The good must be... You know, they, I guess just generally the spirit there, just they kind of put on a bit of, they kind of had fight. They weren't really, they never really gave in. So I think you kind of expect that with women's footballers, and I think they were any different. The bad I'd put down to their not enough pace in midfield, not enough of a differentiation point in midfield. They got the tough kind of mids like Katie Loins that are doing a lot of, you know, a lot of great work at ground level. And, not, they never really built on it to be a kind of consistent threat to teams. Ugly, Bree Davies injury, I can't, yeah, it's once you lose, you want to see the best possible players out there, and to have her go down really, really affected, I think, the league as a whole, the mood around the competition as a whole. So hopefully we see her back stronger than ever in season 3.
All right, I've got 10 seconds. Bram Moody as the ruck, emerging ruck, she will be one of the best players in the competition very soon. Nicholas Stevens leaving,
Who's next, Andrew?
Fremantle.
Fremantle. Who's going to start us off?
I'll have a go.
All right. 3, 2, 1. Duck time.
Fremantle had a poor season last year with a couple of players going down with knee injuries in the preseason. They did have a much better list this year. Unfortunately for them, they had the opportunity. They beat Melbourne over in an absolute ripping match, and that should have set up their season. Dana Hooker was excellent. Ebony Antonio, as per usual, was a brilliant player. Juddy Carra-Donnellan was just... She is a phenomenal, phenomenal footballer. Kelly Gibson, moving from Adelaide to Freo, didn't necessarily have the impact that I thought that she might, and I think that they still struggle to get goals. Mel Caulfield helps, but they need more help in the forward line. Katie?
The bad was Kiara Bowers missing another season, not quite getting up for 2018, which is a real shame because at her best she's just a thriller to watch. Ugly was kind of not having...
That's right, keep going.
Yeah, just not really having another forward target. Stacey Barr, you know, tried her heart out throughout the whole season, but... They really need to sort that out if they're going to be a threat to teams. And the good, I guess, is their general spirit again. They, you know, they really attacked the game. Dana Hooker, Ebony Antonio, Cards and Allen really led the way. And there's, I think there's a real spirit in that group that I think can bode well.
I can't believe. Danae Gibson, if you're listening, get in touch with us at Twitter at ASD_radio. Tell us what you thought of Frio's year. And I can't believe neither of you mentioned the 41,500 crowd that turned out in...
That was pretty good.
Round two. Over at Perth Stadium.
That was really good.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
And I was going to say, the names that I stuffed up very quickly for Carlton when they lost in the off-season of Nicholas Stevens, Nat Exon and Bianca Jacobson.
All right, who is next?
Collingwood is next.
All right.
So I'm going to quickly start and then throw to Katie because...
All right.
I've got...
Are you ready, set, duck time.
Chloe Malloy is going to be the best player in the competition. If not next year, then the year after. She is a phenomenal footballer, forward, back, and she can even run through the midfield. Mo Hope had a brilliant second half to the season compared to the first half of the season. Jess Duffin is one of the best kicks on both sides of her body. Meg Hutchins, unfortunately, looks like she's going to get delisted, and they shouldn't do that at all.
Good Christina Bernardi, really had a solid season, really dynamic player, you know, was a constant goal threat, and as you pointed out, Moana Hope really grew into the season. Bad was probably the first game, their opening night loss to Carlton, which really I don't think set a good tone for the season and really put them behind the eight ball very early on, which you can't afford to do. The ugly, I think is their inability to play at Victoria Park. I think once you go back to their spiritual home, it'll add just a whole new dimension to that Collingwood AFL women's team.
Well, that was perfect.
That's a good point. Yeah. And that first round loss ended up costing Collingwood were spotting the grand final, I think.
Four points and percentage off finishing second.
Yeah.
I was going to say, Jazzy Garner, once again, kicking the first goal of the season in both.
Andrew, don't revisit. You've got to put it in the minute. I'm starting to think a minute might not be enough. But we're on a roll now. We're over the hill. What, like the pig in Toy Story says, we're around the horn. We've got to keep going.
Adelaide.
Go, duck time.
Aaron Phillips obviously was a massive influence after missing the first two matches, which Adelaide lost. She came in, kicked three or four goals in that match, won the game for them. She was on one leg by the end of it. Can't do it on her own. Chelsea Randall had just another absolutely magnificent season. Sarah Perkins struggled in the forward line. They put her in the midfield for to try to get her up around the ball. She was better, but not great. Ruthie Wallace emerged as a genuine forward threat. Katie?
Good Erin Phillips, even on one leg. She's probably the best forward, best player in the competition going around. I think you're looking at a very different season for them had she played a full season. Bad, I think the struggles of Sarah Perkins. I think, unfortunately, you have a spotlight on you, and obviously the competition is growing and going up on our level, and she, I think teams kind of worked her out, and without Erin, she kind of didn't have that kind of cover, so to speak. Ugly was probably their loss to Collingwood, just the way that they kind of fell away in the last round. I thought they had everything to play for, and to just see them fall away, just really, toward the end there, kind of, you know, just was hard to kind of watch sometimes despite seeing, you know, Collingwood play well in that sunshine. So
I like that you're sticking to the good, the bad and the ugly, where I'm just rambling things, but that's fine.
I'm trying.
That's what I do.
No, at least someone's being professional about this, Andrew. Who we got next?
GWS.
Oh, but, sorry, before we go to GWS, we should...
You haven't pressed start, have you, on the minute?
No.
Good.
I get as long as I like. Okay. I'm holding the timer. shout out to a good friend of the show, super coach Beck Goddard, who almost got her team back to the big dance, the big show. But, they fell, like Katie just said, didn't happen against Collingwood.
Mm.
All right. Who we got? GWS. Katie, let's kick it off with you because Andrew has been stealing all of the minute. Ready, set, duck time.
Good, I'm going to say their whole season. No one really took notice of them, but what I was seeing was the experience recruited to them in their draft, through the draft, Alicia Eva, Courtney Gum, really drafted smartly, traded smartly, and got some experience in that they needed, and that pushed them to great heights, I think. I'm really not going to have an ugly for them, to be honest. I'm just going to sit on the fence and pass that for now. The bad was some of their opening losses, I think, in round two to Carlton. I thought, had they won that game, their season's looking a whole lot different. So a real missed opportunity looking back, obviously.
So for me, Courtney Gum was clearly the standout recruit of the season, mature age recruit, because she was overlooked by Adelaide in the 2017 season. So she went and won the competition best and fairest and then said, I'm going to nominate for GWS. Jess Delpos having another wonderful season. Alicia Eva moving from Collingwood and becoming... Well, she should win the best and fairest with Courtney Gum. Phoebe McWilliams.
Your minute's up, Andrew.
Phoebe McWilliams up forward. I'm looking forward to having her at the Hawthorn VFLW team in the goal square there.
I don't know why I bother with duck time sometimes, Andrew.
So we mentioned that Alan McConnell won his
first ever game of AFL.
As a senior coach. Yeah. He had two stints at Fitzroy.
Yeah.
He had a caretaker and he was caretaker again for the last
in
1996.
Rounds. Yeah. GWS were pretty good this year. Right, we're on to the Demons.
Yes.
Andrew's tip a few weeks ago, Katie, you won't know this, but Andrew was very gung-ho on Melbourne being the premiership favourites and going to sweep all before them.
I was.
Having said that, Katie, we're starting with you again. Hog as much of this minute as you like. And duck time.
Well, I was definitely with Andrew in terms of thinking Melbourne were a legit threat. I saw them in a preseason game with Collingwood and was mightily impressed with what I saw. The bad is them playing two interstate games and not coming home in that period. I think it's not, to me, they were really put in a tough position. Those players were put in a tough position. Being a semi-professional competition, they should not be expected to shoulder that kind of load. I don't think they are paid enough to kind of take that responsibility, but huge respect to those players. Ugly is the missed chance as a whole, I think was really, I expected a lot more, and I expect them to be playing in a grand final, and alas, they're not. And I've hogged the whole minute.
Second year in a row that they have finished third by percentage. Pierce Paxman and O'Day dominated again, but Lily Mithen improved. Kate Hoare was good. Bianca Jacobson was a really good lead-up target. Rochelle Cranston continued to her good form, but Tegan Cunningham was probably my favourite player, the massive, tall forward.
Why don't we go to some issues from the year?
All right, issues from the year. So we talked about the injuries, the ACL injuries, and that's been talked about a lot. Last year, when a few happened, particularly to Freo and GWS in the preseason, there was talk about how females are more susceptible to doing an ACL.
I believe this year there was 7 or 8 ACL injuries.
Yeah.
I'll need to confirm that. I'll do that on Twitter at ASD_radio.
And one of the worst ones, well, no, they're all bad, but Izzy Huntington. She did her knee, missed last season, was the number one draft pick, kicked 2 goals from 2 contested marks in a minute, and then did her knee 30 seconds later, and it was just, oh, terrible. Really, really terrible. So injuries, bad. And Bree Davies, Katie, you mentioned before, hers was horrific. Right.
Yeah, just really sad to see this happen. It casts a pall on it. You just feel very flat after them. So there's not much you can say unless give them I wish them the best going forward in their recovery, and hopefully it can be a speedy one and they can come back better than ever for all the players that are missing. I think it's just a weird kind of scenario. I'm not exactly sure how to kind of get around this issue. Women's bodies are different to men. That's just fact. And I'm glad there's being attention put on it in terms of prevention, trying to prevent injuries as much as possible through training and just different ways. So, you know, I think it's in good hands with people kind of making their research available and just kind of looking into it as best as they can to kind of solve this. But I think it's just a real tricky problem with female athletes.
Yeah, there's actually been a study done and published as well around it, which was actually August 2011 is when this study was commenced. So it's not a new issue. And we got in contact. Someone told us about the netball prevention program that they're doing as well.
I remember when we spoke about this, we suggested that it was because there was limited contact hours between players and clubs where they could go and train. I think they got 9 hours a week or something like that where they can train. But since then, I thought that was a really good point, but since then it's been a lot more research and a lot more info has come in that it says, well, not necessarily you can't train up to avoid an ACL. It's all about pronating and overpronating and underpronating and all that sort of things. The way you run, the way you walk, the way your hips move, all of that sort of stuff. So
they don't lie.
They never do lie, no. Who's got something good for us?
That was a bad. The good was just the progression of the competition as a whole. The players, because they've had a pre-season, a season, and then their off-season where a lot were playing in their local competition, another pre-season. And Katie, you said before, you could just see the skills improve even over the course of the 7 matches. And it was just phenomenal to see the improvement, and also the young players coming through. So Izzy Huntington, Chloe Malloy, those coming through the draft, Monique Conti, who just are so natural, and I can't wait to see more of them come through.
They're definite prototypes. That's just a sample. They are just a sample of what is to come going forward, because there's young girls in great care now in terms of their development. It's just far more professional. It's streamlined. So you're going to see a lot more Chloe Malloy's, and it's going to be magnificent to watch. The standards is going to rise as a result. I think for being the vaunted second season, the much vaunted second season syndrome, I think the league stood up in terms of ratings and crowds. I mean, 41,000 at Fremantle's opener with Collingwood was just remarkable. I think there's still a genuine interest there. I think there's still very, very positive signs for the league's growth as a whole.
Now, you talk about the league's growth. We won't spend too much time on it because there'll be a lot of time before the clubs come in that will do that. So Geelong and North Melbourne are the next two teams to come into the AFLW competition. Now, is that next year or 2019? I'm fascinated to see how those clubs actually get players. They can't do a complete spill and fill and have a new draft because there'll be more clubs come in the following year and they can't do that again. There will be something like five players from each team the new clubs are allowed to take as free agents or something like that. Jess Wooshner is a huge chance to go to North Melbourne because they have a Tasmania base and she's the marquee pin-up Tasmanian footballer. Lily Mithen to Geelong, she surely will be going there. But yeah, fascinated to see how that dilutes the pool and how this next draft crop helped to regenerate.
Now, I thought a lot of the players were only on year-to-year contracts. I don't know whether that changed last year or whether there was a rule about whether you were allowed to sign someone for longer. But might just put a pin in that because I'm not 100% sure if that was the case. But I was of the understanding that a lot of players will be able to just go where they like, which is what we want in player movement, Andrew.
That's what you want.
Love player movement.
Katie, in terms of the expansion, we will touch on it a little bit. Do you think that it's happening too quickly or do you think that it's happening at the right speed?
It's happening at the right speed. I like that they've delayed it and they've added two next year and then another two later. Geelong and North have done really well throughout their development. You know, it hasn't just been overnight. They've supported women's teams for a while and this is just, I guess, the culmination of it. You've got a lot of good people doing good work there. The Tassie connection is one that is looking to invest long-term in that state. So again, there might be a little bit of patience required there. I don't think that's the Tassie local league standard. Doesn't quite add up to the best in the mainland, but that can all change again. This is a long game. North have kind of done that. North have kind of had their eye on that. They're going to have a great setup at Arden Street with the redevelopment that's recently been announced there. So yeah, it's done. They've entrusted the two right teams, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yep.
They've made the right two choices in terms of going forward. And yeah, again, this needs to happen. You can't get too stale. Lord knows that's what's happening with the A-League right now. You can't be sitting on your hands. You need to be really aggressive. And it's just right, in my opinion. They haven't gone too far or too narrow, so to speak. So I think they've got it just about right.
AJ, Katie, let's do a very quick wrap-up. 2 minutes. Kehiso Rabada will play.
Hey.
Should he play? AJ.
Yes.
Should he play? Katie.
Yes, simply because I'm a fan and I want to see the best players play.
That's right.
What I do love is a bit of...
Nothing happened.
No, nothing happened. Move on.
Boys will be boys.
Yeah, they're all the talk now about, oh, we're going to target Vernon Philander because he tweeted something and we're going to target and target and target.
Just no, like, you're not.
Don't target. Just play and say amusing things to put the batsman off. That's all you need to do. Melbourne victory, AJ. You think that they're going to win the league?
I'm going to hand this to you, Katie. Melbourne victory are starting to light things up and Sydney FC are starting to gear down a little bit.
Yeah, it's a more kind of different musket who's been kind of more playing to the squad's strengths, really playing a game that is more beneficial to the team that he has. Leroy George, unbelievable. Costa Barros is unbelievable. Bessart's finally scoring again. So it's looking up, but I'm not going to say we're going to win the league.
You're going to be sad when Leroy George leaves and James Troisi has to stay as a marquee?
Why'd you go there? No.
you can say we're getting to the end of our time and you don't want to answer.
Hashtag re-employ Leroy is all I'm going to say.
Oh.
John Ralph, he wrote an opening line, for every coke-snorting, nightclub-hopping AFL player, there are dozens that quietly start charities and visit sick kids in hospital. He then went on to write an article that didn't reference either of those things. AJ.
For every coke-snorting, nightclub-hopping AFL journalist, there's a couple who write articles that aren't clickbaity and are pretty good for the content that's in there. John maybe should have just stuck with the content that was in there.
Katie, anything to add?
Look, I think it's a bit of all the storm in the teacup. I think I saw where he was coming from, and my, you know, that line was probably a bit ham-fisted and not quite well articulated. Mm-hmm. You know what? Stuff happens. Okay. And he's done, I think it's a positive article, and had the reaction from, you know, the AFL players, had it not come, nobody would have thought about it. Nobody would have paid the article or that line, maybe all that much. As the attention eventually was. So, storm in a teacup. Let's just take our medicine and move on.
He got our clicks, though, didn't he?
Oh, he got the clicks.
He got our clicks. Yeah. Well done. And then he came out pretending to be sorry about it, just bathing in clicks.
Katie Lambesky, thank you very much for joining us here on A Sporting Discussion.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
AJ?
Yes.
That'll do.
Do you know what we forgot?
To finish?
Contact us on Twitter at ASD_radio or go to facebook.com/A Sporting Discussion. Have your say on the big sporting issues of the day.
See ya.